going into the academy, I wasn't a great player, and they made me definitely the player I am today, and they have a great coaching staff, and they know what they're doing. So I'm really blessed that I got to play at such a high caliber program.
Welcome to episode 275 of Alberta Dugout Stories, the podcast. I'm Joe McFarland. Happy opening weekend across the baseball Alberta nation. The grassroots programs are getting underway across this province this weekend, and I know everyone is excited. We definitely look forward to keeping you updated with some of the big storylines that emerged this spring and into the summer. And as always, if you'd like to give us a heads up about something going on, you can always drop us a line at albertadugoutstories@gmail.com. On to the news this week, and we'll start in Major League Baseball, where Calgary's Michael Soroka continues the search for his first win as a member of the Chicago White Sox. His last start came last Saturday, April 20th, against Philadelphia, where he allowed 5 runs on 6 hits and 4 walks while striking out 2 in 4 2/3 as the Phillies took the 9-5 victory. Soroka is now 0-3 with an ERA of 7.5 in 5 starts. It's been a rough year for the Sox in general, who are now just 3-21 on the season. Soroka's next start is scheduled for tonight, assuming you're listening on Thursday, against the Minnesota Twins. If you're listening afterwards, totally disregard what I just said. Speaking of the Twins, they have a pitcher on their roster who has some Alberta connections and is doing quite well for himself. Former Edmonton prospects and Okotoks Dogs two-way star Cody Funderburk has been outstanding out of the bullpen, going 1-0 in 9 appearances with 13 strikeouts and an ERA of just 1.93. A couple of updates on guys we haven't talked a lot about lately. Former Dogs Academy product Alejo Lopez is up to his old tricks in AAA. After several years in the Cincinnati system, including some time with the MLB squad, he signed with Atlanta during the offseason and started the year in Gwinnett. He's hitting .318 with 9 RBI and 5 stolen bases in 18 games for the Stripers. And Vauxhall Academy grad Wesley Moore is pitching very well with Philadelphia's single-A team in Jersey Shore. In 6 innings of relief work, Moore is sporting an ERA of just 1.5 with 12 strikeouts. Yeah, that's 2 strikeouts in an inning. On to the college side of things, and the Dynamite Dogs duo of Tucker Zadunik and Nash Crowell continue to rake at Reinhardt University. High River Zadunik had 9 hits, including 2 homers and 2 walks over the course of the week, as well as 5 RBI and 3 stolen bases, while Nova Scotia's Crowell put up 7 hits, a walk, and 7 RBI. While he may not have gotten the win, AHP Academy alum Hayden Dow was great again for Southeastern Missouri State, throwing 7 scoreless innings and a victory over Tennessee Tech. He also allowed 4 hits, 1 walk, and struck out 4. St. Joseph's Academy product Cleary Simpson has hit a groove. Over the last week, the Elnora native had 10 hits, 3 walks, 4 RBI, and a stolen base for the Northern Kentucky Norse. Fresh off being named co-winner of the Canadian Baseball Network College Player of the Week and the NAIA Player of the Week, Chestermere's Logan Grant was still in beast mode for Bellevue University. He put up 7 hits, a walk, and 3 RBI to boost his average to .369 to go along with 17 home runs and 61 RBI in just 41 games. The Bruins have also claimed the regular season championship in the North Star Athletic Association. And a shout out to Daysland native and Vauxhall Academy grad Jared Benfeld on the run he's having at Bismarck State College. He has 3 home runs in his last 5 games, driving in 9 runs during that stretch. He's now hitting .354 with 5 homers and 30 RBI in 32 games. As always, the Mystics have several Canadians on the roster this year and were previously the launch pad for the careers of players like the aforementioned Logan Grant and Nash Crowell. One final piece of news, and that is the Baseball Canada Junior National Team extended spring training camp trip to Florida is winding down. They've been battling a few teams over the last week, as well as having an intra-squad game. The Alberta contingent has been performing exceptionally well, including Nathan Flewelling, Tim Piazzantine, and Michael Yusupchuk. That trip wraps up this weekend, and we hope to catch up with a few more of those players taking part in the weeks ahead. Let's head over to the CCBC now, and Prairie Baseball Academy took 3 of 4 from the Victoria Golden Tide over the weekend, while the University of Calgary Dinos and Edmonton Collegiate Hawks split their 4-game set. We will hear from Dinos veteran Aiden Zottner in a moment. The Dogs now sit in second place in the league with an 8-4 record, just behind the top-ranked TRU Wolfpack. The Hawks are in 5th at 8-8, while the Dinos are in 7th at 4-8. This weekend, PBA hosts Vancouver Island. Edmonton welcomes the University of Fraser Valley, and the Dinos are home to TRU. It has been a tough year so far for the Dinos, as they're trying to repeat a as CCBC champs. They started by losing 3-4 against UFV, then were snowed out against PBA, before taking 1-4 against Okanagan College, and then the aforementioned split with the Hawks. The schedule isn't getting easier, so they'll be looking to veterans like reigning CCBC first team All-Star Aiden Zottner to lead the way. The Calgary native is hitting .282 with 3 RBI and 2 stolen bases in 9 games this season, and knows he's going to have to up his game over the last month of the campaign.
Aiden, thanks so much for joining us here on the show.
Absolutely, no problem.
Fresh off a split with Edmonton over the weekend, you've had a couple of days to digest it all. The first thing I'd like to know is, how's the team feeling about that weekend, but also the start as a whole this year?
Yeah, I mean, it has not been the start that we wanted. We were almost all stunned after winning the championship and then having a really slow start. But we understand that it's a long season and that you just want to be your best at the end of it. So a slight improvement against Edmonton. We're happy to get those close game wins. So that's a move in the right direction for sure.
Mm-hmm. When you look at the team to this point, what are you liking out of it so far? And what do you think is missing right now that'll put you over the edge and get you a few more wins?
Really just like our bats, like they're technically cold, but we're getting a lot of barrels that are finding gloves. So I think that like that hopefully won't continue, and that hopefully once those start dropping, have a few more like team at bats, like one out, like guys in scoring position with one out, two out, stuff like that. Just a couple more RBI situations with some clutch at bats should turn some of those games around for us.
We were talking off air about this briefly, but how challenging is it knowing that it's early in the season, so you don't necessarily want to press that panic button yet, but you also have that end goal in mind of really just being at your best and improving heading into May long?
Yeah, that is pretty much all that matters, I guess, is yeah, just keep moving in the right direction. Yeah, we definitely don't want to hit the panic button, but we do have to show some urgency and try to get some wins up so we're not in the bottom two heading into the championships, where those are the tough positions to get wins in.
Mm-hmm. I was chatting with Ethan Webster before the season. He said it'd be different having a target on your back as the defending champions. Now that you've been able to play a couple of weeks and see what that all means, is it noticeable that you now can't afford to take that foot off the gas because no one's really being taken by surprise by your get up and go?
100%. Yeah, I find teams are really, they seem to really be pitching us well right now. Like they're giving us all they got, and it might be because of the championship, or maybe just the pitching seems a little bit better this year. I'm not sure exactly, but they have been gunning for us this year, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. What's been the biggest adjustment to this point, mindset wise, for the team coming in as the reigning champs? Was there something that Coach Williams had to kind of tell you guys, hey, this is what we got to do to keep the ball rolling, kind of thing? Was there any kind of change that way?
He has wanted us to just kind of play like we're champions and kind of act like it, but also at the same time, we kind of just want to stick to what works and kind of do what we did last year a little bit and just try to keep on improving throughout the year.
What did you learn about that team last year that you're able to translate into what you want to see on the field this year?
Just kind of stick with the program, I guess. Like, don't give up and really just stick with what works, I guess.
Mm-hmm. As one of the veterans on the squad, what are you telling some of those younger guys to make sure that their minds are at ease, especially in this early stretch where the wins have been a little bit harder to come by?
Just trying to tell them to stick with their approach and don't get disheartened if a couple of barrels don't drop. They'll come and just really try to have some more team at bats. If you're struggling, lay some bunts down, do something like that, get a spark going. But yeah, just stick with it, really.
Mm-hmm. On a personal level, how are you feeling about your game so far?
It was also a slower start for me personally than I'd hoped. I came off a strong season last year and kind of struggled at the plate lately, but I had a great weekend in Edmonton, honestly. So I'm hoping that continues and I can stick with that.
Was there anything in particular that you think was happening for yourself personally that maybe got you off that slower start, or was it just sort of the ebbs and flows of the game?
Honestly, maybe just pitchers were throwing me more off-speed stuff. They were pitching me a little bit better, picking spots and being more careful with where they leave the ball. And so I got to figure, I had to change my approach a little bit, but I think I'm starting to see the ball a little bit better now, and hopefully I can I can adjust as well.
Mm-hmm. Heading into the season, did you have any goals or expectations of yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to be up there near the top of the league in average again, like I was last year. Not quite there yet, but hopefully I can claw my way back up.
What needs to happen in the next few weeks to make sure that you are, as everybody keeps saying in the CCBC, winning that last game of the season?
We just got to keep practices intense and going to every game, trying to get better and just really focusing on the basics and, yeah, just trying to win ball games and make sure that we're improving every day.
Mm-hmm. Let's get into your baseball past a little bit here. Your product to Calgary, how did you end up getting into the game in the first place?
I don't know. I've been playing baseball as long as I can remember, really. I guess my dad liked to play baseball, so he put me in it when I was young, and I've just kind of stuck with it, I guess.
Were you a multi-sport guy growing up, or was it all baseball all the time from the get-go?
Definitely multi-sport. I played almost all of them you can name. I played soccer my whole life, played hockey my whole life, played basketball and badminton here and there. Really just mixed it all in. I kind of love all sports, honestly.
What was it about baseball that made you say, hey, maybe I can chase this game a little bit further?
Just kind of, I guess, the results. I don't know. I felt like I was playing well and having good games and having fun, and it just seemed like the right sport for me at the collegiate level.
Looking back on the young career to this point, do you have any favorite memories or moments on the field? I have a feeling I might know one of them, but I'm curious what your thoughts are on that one.
Not really. I guess the best memory, obviously, is just last year's championships. But other than that, I don't know, maybe won like a championship when I was 15. That was fun too, but definitely not as big as the one last year.
Mm. When you think about last year's team, what made that group so special? What made that weekend come together for you?
Really, I don't know. We played clean defense. Pitching was outstanding, and our bats just got hot in the right time. And we really clicked as a team as well. Like we were, it was nothing but fun at the ballpark the whole time, and it just was a winning mentality, and it was super fun.
Very cool. Conversely, baseball is known as the game of failure, and so I'm curious, what's been maybe the biggest challenge or hurdle that you've had to overcome over your young career?
I guess just some arm trouble here and there, and just kind of trying to get over the fact mentally that you are going to get out more than you get hits, and just trying to stay positive throughout those bad at-bats and try to learn from them for the next one, and just try to do better every time and hope that some of those hits fall and your average can stay acceptable, you know.
Mm-hmm. A few fun ones here. Favorite ballpark food when you're a fan?
I think just pizza. Cheese pizza is my favorite. It's my go-to.
Cheese pizza. I don't know if I've ever heard anybody say that one before. That's interesting. Do you have like a favorite cheese blend, perhaps? Like, does it got to be all cheddar? Does it have to be a mix? What's your go-to there?
That's actually a good question. I don't really think about it too much. I kind of like all the cheeses, so whatever they put on there, I'll eat.
I don't disagree with you. All cheese is good in my books, too. Your favorite MLB player to watch?
I'd probably just Vladimir Guerrero Jr. right now, just because I watch the Jays all the time and like to see his at-bats.
Your go-to walk-up tune?
I go with Free Bird, kind of at the five-minute mark there, since the guitar solo starts. I don't know why, it just kind of gets me going a little bit, and I like it.
It's funny how it's like one moment, right? Like a lot of people go for the intro. You're very particular about going for the solo. So well done on going old school too. I love it. So another one for you on the fun side. Who's your hero and why?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know. The kind of a guy I look up to, I guess, as an athlete is like Bo Jackson. I've always really respected and admired how he played both sports at such a high level. And since I've always loved playing more than one sport, kind of wished I could be like him.
If you weren't playing baseball, what would you be doing?
I'd be doing kind of the same thing, except I'd be playing hockey kind of in a lower level, honestly. I would have been playing hockey in the States, kind of in a D3 situation.
I was going to say, give us a scouting report on Aiden Zottner, the hockey player. What were you like?
So I played 2 years of Junior B in the KIJHL in BC, and then I went down to California and played my last year in Junior A, where I had a very good season numbers-wise. It was about a point and a half per game. And then I got a couple offers to go to some colleges downstate, but they were all very expensive still, even with 50% scholarships, so I decided to come home and play baseball instead.
Was that a tough transition? Because, I mean, here in Alberta and Canada, hockey's number one, right? And baseball's a sort of an afterthought at the end of it. Was that a tough choice for you to make? And did you get a bit of the side glances from different people?
I don't know. It was kind of always my plan to play baseball at the end, because it was like, just because it was cheaper and it was right here at my school here in Calgary. And I always just could still play both, because hockey's in the winter and baseball's in the summer. So it's not the hardest transition, because I'm still able to do both the sports I love all the time, which is great.
What's that one piece of advice or those words of wisdom you'd have for those young kids starting out on their baseball journeys that maybe you've learned along the way?
Really just stick with it and don't get discouraged if things start to go wrong. Even if you have a bad season or you start to feel like you can't keep up with the pitching, all it takes is just a couple more reps in the cages, a little bit of heart. Just stick with it, and it can definitely work out the next season even if you have a bad one.
Great pieces of advice. Here's the final one that we ask everyone here on the show, Aiden. What does the game of baseball mean to you?
It's really just a kind of a place to escape from everything that goes on in your life that can be a little bit more challenging. You just go to the ballpark, forget about it, really focus on the game, think the game, and enjoy yourself. It means a lot, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic stuff, Aiden. Well, really appreciate the time. Congrats on all the success you've had at this point. Continued success with the Dinos and beyond. And again, thanks so much for joining us here on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
We head south of the border now to chat with someone I mentioned last week is having a really quiet yet solid freshman campaign. Calgary's Jacob Wroblewski is hitting .402 with 8 home runs and 43 RBI in 39 games for Chandler Gilbert Community College. The Dogs Academy alum has the added onus of being a catcher and trying to handle a young Coyote staff, but he says he's already learning a ton in his short time in Arizona. Jacob, thanks so much for joining us here on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
As we record this, you're hitting .402 with 8 homers, 43 RBI, and 4 stolen bases in 39 games. More importantly, though, how are you feeling about your season so far?
Yeah, I'm definitely feeling pretty good so far. I mean, obviously, main goal is just to keep up what I've been doing. Really, all I've been trying to do is just limit strikeouts and, you know, put the ball in play with 2 strikes, because good things happen when you put the ball in play, so it's really what I've been trying to focus on.
Are you surprising yourself at all, given you are a freshman and in some cases there is a bit of a lag, there is a bit of an adjustment from high school to college?
I mean, not so much. I mean, I definitely wanted to come in as a freshman and be a role player on the team. That was kind of my goal. So, I mean, as of right now, I'm definitely impressing myself a little bit with the stats, but yeah, once again, I'm trying to keep it up, but main goal coming in was to be a guy, and that's what I've been doing so far.
How have you found that transition from Dogs over to Chandler Gilbert?
I feel like the Dogs, they really prepare you really well for college baseball, the atmosphere, the practices, the way we play. It's a lot similar to down here, so the shock wasn't as big, because I've been training for that ever since I've been at the Dogs.
Looking at it from your standpoint, what has been really key to making that season so successful so far?
Definitely lots of individual work. You can't just be going to the practices and expecting the best results. You got to go in early, stay late, eat right, sleep right. A bunch of different things go into being the best that you can be.
I'm always curious when it comes to moving away from home or that kind of thing. What's been the hardest part of the move over to the college life, or maybe what's been the biggest transition you've had to take?
Yeah, definitely living on my own, you know, not having those home-cooked meals by mom and dad to come to every single night. Cooking for yourself is definitely tougher than I thought, you know, trying to get the meal preps done. And so I have food for the week and stuff like that. So definitely the eating part is the most difficult, make sure I'm staying healthy and stuff like that.
You and I were talking off air about the student athlete perspective. You're a business student. How have you found the adjustment to being a true student athlete at the college level?
Yeah, it's definitely pretty tough. I mean, got quite a bit of homework some nights, but, you know, we're really only playing one game a day. We're not really having doubleheaders, so I can get up in the morning before games and do homework or come home after and do homework. And usually I'm able to get that all stuff done on time.
Every time I talk to an athlete, a student athlete, they talk about the need for discipline and the need for balance to make sure that you're excelling in both. Has that been something that you've been trying to preach to yourself? Is like, okay, I'm as much as I need a nap now, or as much as I need to want to hang out with buddies right now, I got to get this homework done so that it's off my plate and I can focus on the ball field?
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, a lot, like me and my roommates, we hang out together pretty much all the time. So we're pretty good at, we do our homework together and stuff like that. So we're making sure we're staying on top of that, and then definitely get some downtime afterwards. But you definitely got to have your priorities straight, because if you're failing classes, you're not going to be eligible to play.
You mentioned the roommates, so I'm curious, from a team perspective, how are you feeling about the way that the season's playing out for the Coyotes?
Yeah, we've been pretty good. I mean, we can definitely improve some things. Right now we're kind of on a little downward turn, but I'm sure we'll heat up here again. I know we've clinched a playoff spot, but our goal is to be first seed going into the playoffs. So we need to finish out the season strong, and hopefully we need to clinch that first seed for sure.
In your eyes, what needs to happen to maybe turn that corner and make sure you're putting up a few more W's before the end of the season?
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty solid offensively every game. We put together pretty good offensive games. I mean, really for us, it comes down to defense and pitching, just, you know, limiting the free bases and making guys get themselves out instead of just walking them, hitting them, put them on base, making errors, stuff like that.
Heading into the season, did you have any goals or expectations of yourself personally when it comes to being on this team and being a contributing member?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely wanted to be, like, you know, a team guy, you know, someone who can come in, get a job done. I wanted to be, being a catcher especially, I wanted to be a leader on the team and, you know, maybe help steer some guys in the right direction and maybe rub off the way that I act on other guys so that we can have more of a winning culture and, you know, a family culture on the team.
Talk a little bit about being a catcher and a freshman as well. Has been as easy as you thought it might be in terms of handling that staff and making sure that you're getting the best out of each pitcher each night?
Yeah, I mean, I owe a lot of my catching to, you know, Aaron Ethier and my college catching coach here, Dave Pankaneer. He has improved my catching game significantly since being here. I've become a new catcher for sure. I'm a lot better than I was in high school. So yeah, we have different stuff for different guys, you know, like different guys like different things. So our pitchers, some like different ways you set up, and we have charts on all our pitchers, umpires, and yeah, our catching coach, Dave, he takes care of all that. So I'm pretty blessed to have him.
I was listening to an episode of a podcast that was featuring Danny Jansen, and he was talking about the prep work that goes into it, even just from a pregame perspective, is that pregame bullpen, for example, just to get a sense as to what's working on a day-to-day basis. Talk about that prep work and what goes into it from your perspective and that appreciation that you have for it now that you're getting into the science a little more of it.
Yeah, for sure. So I like to show up pretty early. Our report time is usually 3 hours before a game. I'll show up probably 4 hours before, and I'll get a really good warm-up in, do my mobility, you know, get a dynamic warm-up in. And we have strobe glasses here, so you can put them on. They'll flash black every second, and you can change the settings. So I like to do some bare hand work with those before playing catch or anything like that. Then I'll play catch about an hour before the game. Take some reps off the hack attack, just some receiving, transfer, footwork stuff. And then I use a mini glove when I play catch with our pitchers, and I catch their bullpen with that. And then once I'm in the game, I go back to my normal glove and it feels a lot bigger and I feel like I can control the ball more with a bigger pocket.
It's almost the opposite of a heavy ball when you're throwing for warm-ups before a game. That's kind of cool. I didn't realize that they even had that kind of thing. So I learned something new every day with this show. Moving on here, let's get in your background a little bit here. You're Calgary area, born and raised. You traveled around the greater Calgary area most of your life here. Let's talk about how you got into the game in the first place. Who was it that that introduced you to baseball?
Yeah, I mean, I played hockey a little bit growing up, and, you know, I'll be honest, I was not the best hockey player. So I just really decided that I want to try another sport. I guess we'll try baseball. And I started in a Bow Ridge Little League in Calgary is the first place I started. And then I eventually started going to ABA and then transferred over to Dogs.
Very cool. Do you remember that moment where it went from, hey, this is a cool, fun game that I enjoy playing, to, hey, maybe I'm good at this and I should maybe pursue it at a higher level?
Yeah. I mean, I'd say once I transferred over to Dogs, I kind of knew, like, yeah, maybe it's time to, like, start taking this a little bit more seriously. And then I'd say probably I really only saw, like, a massive jump in my game from my junior to my senior season. That's when I was like, okay, I think I want to definitely play at the next level and continue this thing going.
What does the Dogs Academy program mean to you, looking back on it with 2020 hindsight?
Yeah, that's a really big part of my life. I mean, going into the academy, I wasn't a great player, and they trained me and they put me in tough situations and made me deal with adversity, and they made me definitely the player I am today, and they have a great coaching staff and they know what they're doing. So I'm really blessed that I got to play at such a high caliber program.
Growing up, did you have any favorite players or a favorite team you were watching?
Yeah, definitely. I'm a Giants fan because I really like Buster Posey. He was my favorite player to watch growing up. You know, he's great catcher and great hitter. I mean, I think he's definitely a Hall of Famer in my eyes, for sure.
Looking back on the young journey to this point, do you have any favorite memories or moments on the ball field?
Yeah, I mean, like, when I was younger, I'd go hit BP with my dad and stuff, and those are all great memories, and that was a lot of fun times with him, for sure. I mean, the first big thing we ever won is 13U. We won provincials, went to nationals, so that's one of the earliest memories I have of winning something big and going to do something big. So yeah.
Very cool. On the flip side of that, baseball is known as that game of failure, right? And so I'm curious, what's been the biggest challenge or hurdle that you've had to overcome over your career?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, playing a sport where you're failing most of the time, you gotta be tough mentally. So I mean, really the mental part of the game was the biggest part of me. The Dogs, you know, we did meditation and stuff like that, and I thought it worked. And a lot of breathing techniques help you to slow the game down when it's speeding up on you. So yeah, definitely the getting my mental side right and knowing that I'm gonna get out, so I need to focus on the next at bat once I get out.
Put on your scout's hat for a second here and tell us about what you see in your game. What's your potential and what do you think you got to do to get there?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to gain a little bit more weight. I mean, I lost some weight coming down to Arizona, which I'm not mad about. I was a little heavy when I got down here, so I've lost a little bit of weight. I mean, I'd like to get a little bit faster. I mean, as a catcher, it's a little tough, but not to say no one can do it. So I'd like to definitely be a better base runner. That's definitely at the top of my list. And yeah, definitely get faster, gain a little bit of weight, and come back for a good next season.
Do you already have your eyes set on a bigger level school at this point, or you kind of nose the grindstone, will let the chips fall where they may later on?
Yeah, I've been in contact with a few schools for sure. I'm not really sure on what I'm going to do yet, as of leaving as a freshman or coming back next year for my sophomore year. I'm kind of just playing it out right now, and I'm going to wait and see what happens.
Very cool. A few fun ones here before we get to the last two big ones. We'll start off with, what's your favorite ballpark food when you're a fan?
Oh, definitely. 100% the Duda double burger at Siemens Stadium. 100%.
All day, every day. That's not a bad one
every
at all.
Day.
What is your go-to walk-up tune?
My walk-up song, I've been using the same one. It's Your Love by The Outfield. I got it from Charlie Blackman, and I used it when I was 15, and I've been using it ever since.
That's not a bad one at all. What's it mean to you to be able to head back to Okotoks this summer and get to play ball for the Dogs college team?
Oh, yeah, I'm really excited. I'm excited that I get to go home and play at home, you know, spend some time with family while I'm there as well. You know, having my family from there, it's going to be awesome. Not staying down here, being away from the family as long. And I'm excited to play in front of the crowd because, you know, they're the best fans in baseball. So I'm really excited.
When you are home, what's the one meal that your parents make sure to make you?
Definitely chicken and dumplings. My mom makes that for me, and that's definitely my number one favorite meal that she makes. I've been having that since I was young, and I've never grown out of it, so that's my favorite.
That is awesome. The final fun one for you. Who's your hero and why?
That's a tough one. I mean, I'd probably have to say probably my parents. You know, they've been with me through it all. You know, they're paying for me to be down here, and you know, none of this would be happening without them moving to Okotoks, paying for me to go through the academy. Yeah, and then paying for me to come down here and play baseball. And yeah, they've been with me through it all. So they're definitely my heroes.
Fantastic. A couple more for you. It's the standard two that we ask the athletes here. What's that one piece of advice or those words of wisdom that you'd have for those young kids, maybe at Okotoks or elsewhere, that they're just starting out on their baseball journeys and they want to end up just like you? What would you say to them?
Yeah, like I said before, you got to get your individual work in. Doing team practices isn't enough if you want to be great. If you want to be just as good as everyone else, then just go to the team practices and do what you're told to do. But if you want to be the best, or if you want to be better than everyone, then you gotta go in and you gotta get your individual work in and know what you need to work on to get better.
Great stuff, Jacob. Final question. This is one we ask everybody here on the show. What does the game of baseball mean to you?
Yeah, I love the game of baseball. I mean, right now I'd say it's probably the biggest thing I have in my life. So it weighs heavy on me for sure, knowing that I get to go to school down here because I play baseball and stuff like that. And I get to live in such a great place because I play baseball. So the game of baseball is definitely everything to me as of right now.
That's a fantastic way to end the chat here, Jacob. Really appreciate the time. Congrats on all the success you've had to this point. Continued success to Chandler Gilbert and Okotoks and beyond. And thanks again so much for joining us here on the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
And finally, we're going to change things up a bit with our final guest this week and chat with someone who helps bring the high school baseball scene in Alberta to life online. Brady Turner has had a fascinating journey in the game and is now the West Coast Director for Prep Baseball Report. He's been making his way to several showcase days across the province in recent weeks, posting videos and analytics of young players looking to take their game to the next level. During some downtime, I chatted with him this week about what he's looking for and how good the players in Alberta are now and what they're looking like heading into the future. Brady, thanks so much for joining us here on the show.
Thanks for having me.
How frenetic has the last few weeks been for you?
It's been chaos. Obviously, with the line of work, it's kind of kicking off baseball season soon. So we wanted to get out and about early and kind of see what kids have done over the offseason and kind of see what development they've made, you know, hit the gym, add 10, 15 pounds, something like that. So we like to do all our kind of scout days and pre-event stuff and see as many kids as we can before the season starts. So yeah, it's been chaos, but with the help of my staff and all that, it's been really good, and we've seen a lot of kids, so we like what we've seen so far. And you know, starting off with Best of the West in a couple of days, or I guess a week or so now, and then get back to Calgary for the season, and we'll go from there. But yeah, it's been good.
So you mentioned the talent level as you look across Alberta right now. What are you seeing? What kinds of things are you excited about as you look from border to border to border to border?
Yeah, it's incredible at the moment. One of the 24 class is one of the most talented I've seen. And obviously being out here for about a year now, Seeing them grow and develop in that 1 year has been incredible. And obviously with the academies we have out here, you have some BC kids coming into Vauxhall, to Okotoks, and from out east as well. And the Dogs have one of the most talented rosters we've seen in the country. And I know I was talking to Tyler Hallett the other day, and he said it's the most talented roster he thinks they've ever had. So they have, I think, 14, 15 Division I commits, five pitchers. The 1 through 9 is going to be Division I. And that kind of carries throughout the entire province. Vauxhall is as good as they are year in and year out. And you have those other academies popping up, like AHP, for example, ATHX, all those guys. And they're all looking really good this year. So it's definitely going to be a good one going forward. So we're excited to see all of them at Best of the West as well, because that's always the most talented tournament of the year.
I feel like this is going to be like asking who your favorite kid is. But at the same time, when you look at that class of 2024 specifically, is there anybody who stands out to you? Is there anybody, when you look across the province, you're like, man, this guy is popping off right now. He's trending in such a crazy direction right now. Or anybody maybe that's taken you by surprise?
Yeah, the one, so I got a couple for you. The one that is trending in a very good direction right now is Nathan Flewelling out of St. Joe's and Red Deer. He's always been good, and he committed to Gonzaga, I want to say, almost 2 years now, 2 years ago now. But he's added a lot of physicality in the last little bit, left-handed hitting catcher, and he's got so much power. And he can hit the ball off the bat, maybe 108. We had a scout day with him back in March, and it was awesome to see. And I was down with the Blaze on the Pro Tour in March as well, and he was one of the better hitters there as well. We were facing the Royals Complex League team, and there was a second-rounder lefty throwing 98, and he just barreled him up the other way. Obviously, he hits it right at the left fielder, but that just kind of shows what the kid can do with the bat as well and behind the dish. It's yet to be seen if he'll stay there long-term, but he can play there right now for sure and then might end up in a corner outfield spot. But that's one guy that's been trending in the right direction and getting a little draft traction as well. And then another guy, I'd probably say from the Dogs, Yusipchuk, Michael Yusipchuk. He's been good for a really long time, but when we saw him at their scout day, I think it was late March, he just the command, the ability, the consistency with his repertoire, it was really impressive to see. And obviously, like I said, he's been good for a while, so there's no surprise there. But as seeing him continue to refine, and he's one of the best arms in the country, so I'd like to see him in game as well and see what he can do against some talented lineups.
You mentioned in both cases, but I get the sense that this is a common theme you see is they see their numbers, they see their stats, they see their performances from, you know, say the fall, for example, and then it seems as though they're really willing to put in the work and see a winter of weight rooms and refining what they've got. Talk about that evolution of the players that you're seeing as you headed into this spring and the obvious work that they clearly want to put into refining their game now.
Yeah. So a big thing, obviously, as you're in the baseball universe and all that analytics and exit velocity, launch angle, velocity, spin rate, all that stuff is kind of leading the charge now. And I like to say, like, I was an analytics guy growing up, and that's where I started with prep baseball as well, was then on the analytics side. And now I've kind of moved over to the scouting side. But since that's a driving force behind kids' development, obviously the gym is very important. And I tell kids, coaches tell kids, you're not going to get better if you don't hit the gym. And obviously you may have natural ability. You might have twitch. You might just be a quick twitch guy in general. But it's important to get in the gym, you know, and get that physicality and improve in ways that you really only can in the gym, right? So it's just – from the analytics side, it's just important to, hit the gym and the development. The offseason is also very important in that because, obviously, being in Calgary and Alberta, you're indoors from, you know, October to, depending if we're lucky, mid-April, late April, early May. And I've coming from Toronto, I've learned that Toronto, you get outdoors a lot earlier, so it was a big adjustment for me seeing that. But, yeah, the offseason is a huge thing. And in getting in the gym, and like I said, with the analytics side, you're not going to improve those numbers unless you get in the gym and work out and get more physical when you can. But yeah, you got to find that balance between analytics and also the natural ability to play baseball. And it's more than just the analytics, but that's obviously a very important part of it.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. We talked about the 2024 side and how they're kind of priming up for either their first year of college ball or maybe even that phone call come July. But it's funny looking at the lists that you're putting together for 2025, 2026, and even early looks at 2027 now. I mean, these kids are getting a really good roadmap early on as far as what they need to do to get to where some of these kids that are 2024 eligible are now, 3 years from now.
Yeah. And we like to, obviously, being in the shoes I am with prep baseball and stuff, I don't want to say our job is done when a player commits, but our primary job is to help players, give them the resource, and allow them the best possible chance to commit or go pro ball or something like that. So our, I don't want to say our priority is the younger ages or the underclassmen, but that's where we look mostly, because those are the kids we're going to work towards and help get to that next level, whether it be Division One, Division Two, NAIA, junior college, or pro ball. So it's, that's kind of the guys we're focusing on. Like, I don't want to say our job is done with the 24s, but when, once they commit, sure, they can still come to our showcase, and obviously we push them to, you know, get their numbers up on their profile and all that. But going forward, like, our, we're kind of looking at the fives, the sixes, the sevens, because those are the guys that we want to help get to that next level.
How excited are you about the crops of 2025s, 26s, and 27s?
Yeah, there's, it's impressive. A couple, like I said with the Dogs, they have a couple guys from out of province, which is exciting for me because I get to see some of the best players in the country in one spot. And I live 15 minutes north of Okotoks and Seton, so I'm very close and get to as many games as I can. But yeah, there's a lot of guys, Tim Piacentin, Quincy Jenkins in the 25s, for example. And then there's some other guys in the 26s, like Tay Tierman, and then younger guys as well. Easton Contreras, a 2026 from Vauxhall, who we love, physical, it's projectable, it's quick, it's athletic, stuff like that. And then even 2027s in grade nines, like Bolton Uliev French, guys like that, Jack Stevens, Gabe Fink. I could go on and on about names, but it's very exciting to see because I know those guys will be around for three more years at least. So, and hopefully I'll be here to see them mm-hmm. as they grow and develop.
Talk about that, if you can see it, you can be it mentality, because as the game has evolved here in this province, they're getting a sense as to not just what has been before them, whether it's, you know, the Hartmans of the group or the Sabrowskis of the group, or, you know, those guys who are now turning their into really good Division One players or even pro players. But now even living in the moment, they're teammates with guys who, you know, you mentioned Flewelling, you mentioned Yusupchuk. Like, these are guys who are living, breathing in the moment. Are these guys looking at those older guys and saying, hey, if they can do that, I can certainly do that too?
Yeah, absolutely. And like I tell a lot of kids, just because a guy goes Division One straight out of school doesn't mean that's what you have to do. Like, I like to talk about the JUCO route a lot, because you go, you play right away for the 2 years, 1 year, and you can transfer after 1 or 2 years, whatever you want. And you can still end up where those guys are playing, like the Hartman, for example, like you said. So it's, they're really looking towards it and they want to be that person. But I just want to make sure they know that you don't have to commit to a Division One straight out of high school. You can get there going through the JUCO route. But yes, you're right. In a sense where they're looking and they want to be there, but it's just, I try and keep them grounded in a sense where there's different ways to get there. And you don't need to be that, necessarily be that stud out of high school or that pro draft guy or whatever. You can take that different route and still get to where those guys are right now.
Is there a stat or an analytic that you look at specifically and go, this is the one? Or is it a mixture of a bunch? What is it that you specifically like to look at most when it comes to what you do?
That's a good question. There's a lot. And like I said before, like, I like keeping that balance between analytics and the regular game of baseball. But my first job with prep baseball was on the analytics side. Like, I was the TrackMan guy who would fly all over the country with the TrackMan, would work on the back end with all the tech and data and numbers. I'd write articles. So I guess off the top of my head, the one thing I would probably say is a big one I like is spin rate, just because when you improve your velocity, the vast majority of the time you improve your spin rate. And spin rate allows you, if you can spin a baseball, you can do things to a ball other kids who can't spin it can't do, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it just allows you to develop your repertoire and gives you different avenues to go, like whether it be you could have carry on your fastball up in the zone, for example, and then you could have a hammer curveball straight down, which helps change the eyesight on the hitters, keeps them off balance, stuff like that. But if you can't spin the wall as well, maybe you can't get it up at the top of the zone, and then that hammer curveball isn't as efficient because maybe you don't get more vertical break on and stuff like that. So it's little things, and obviously you can still be an effective arm without spin rate if you're like a sinker slider guy, something like that. But that's a big one, just because if you have a high spin rate as a 26 or 27, and you're only, you know, 80, 82 at the time, when you're 87, 89, or 90, 91, that spin rate's going to be that much more. That helps you develop that repertoire even more. And obviously, exit velo is good too, but it's like if you don't have much bat to ball, if you hit the ball hard, it doesn't really matter if you can't make good contact with the ball in game. Mm-hmm. So there's obviously pros and cons to everything, but spin rate's a big one just because it's a good projector and in determining what that guy's repertoire looked like going forward.
Well, and a great example of that is Dogs Academy grad Matt Wilkinson, right? Like he, everybody has always said that his 91 looks 95 because of how much spin and how much command he has. And he's proving in the Guardian system how good he is. One final note before we get into your personal side of things here. How much of what you do is based on telling the kids that you have to be a little bit more than just numbers? Because I look at it, and I've been lucky enough to chat with a lot of the young kids here in this province, and they all seem like really good, down-home, personable human beings alongside being really good ball players. How much of it is making sure that they understand that they have to be teachable as well? They might be have the most talent in the world, but they've still got to be able to be coachable at the same time.
Yeah, and from our perspective of things, we don't really, like, we don't want to coach them. So, like, kids will call me coach, for example, and I'm like, you know, sure, you can call me coach, but I'm not your coach. So that's fine. Like, kind of do whatever you want. But in a sense, so like you kind of said with the teachable stuff, and you kind of mentioned it, you could have the most talent, whether it be athleticism. And athleticism is a big thing I look for, just because, like you said, you can move your body in different ways when you're an athlete compared to a guy who's not an athlete. But it's just you have to be the complete player in a sense. You got to listen. You got to work hard. You got to be, you don't have to be athletic, but obviously it helps, like I was saying. But it's, you just have to keep everything in mind and do everything you can to be the ball player you want to become. So it's more, like you said, it's just you got to be focusing on everything. And it's like your nutrition as well. Like there's so many different factors that go into it, and it's not just natural talent. You could be the most talented guy in the world, and if you don't work hard and you're not coachable, you're not going to go anywhere. So it's like, just because you don't have that much talent doesn't mean you're not going to be a successful ball player. You got to work hard at everything and just focus on that, and if you really want it, just keep grinding and good things will come your way.
As mentioned, want to get into the personal side a little bit here. How is it that a guy ends up in baseball analytics like you? Were you a ball player growing up? Tell us a little bit about your journey in the game.
Yeah, so I actually have my kind of story to baseball is a bit weird. I was a huge hockey kid growing up. Wasn't like I was a decent player, but wasn't going to go anywhere. I'm like 5'8", 160 pounds. I was a goalie, loved to play, like, but wasn't going to go anywhere. And I knew that. Was always, my dad was a huge baseball guy growing up, like loved it. When he was younger, would always look in the paper at the stats afterwards. So I think that's where my analytics side came from. I went to Carleton in Ottawa for political science and history. And then kind of, I walked onto the baseball team first year, didn't play first year, didn't really play second year. I kind of fell in love with the analytics side because they'd wrapped Soto. So that's kind of where I first got a glimpse at the analytics side of it. And then kind of knew I loved baseball and the analytics, and then kind of looked getting into a sport business management program as a post-grad. Because I knew as part of the program, there was an internship where you get a placement somewhere. And I kind of done my research and saw that there was a player management agency that would use them to get interns. So kind of did my degree, did my post-grad, and then ended up at a place called Lake Ridge Sports Management, which is based in Whitby, Ontario, which is like 45 minutes east of Toronto. Mm-hmm. Did that, and then that was when COVID hit. So did maybe 200 of my 500 hours, and then I was working with minor league guys, and obviously there was no minor league season the year COVID hit. So they let me go just because there was nothing for me to do, got my hours, graduated, and then just cold emailed a bunch of different people trying to get an internship. And another place luckily responded called True Gravity Baseball. Same player management agency, worked with them for about 8 months. Same idea, kind of like a research intern, whether it be contract stuff or looking at repertoires and comparing them to guys who are up for a new contract in their one of their clients. And then I had a buddy who's now an area scout with the White Sox, and he referred me to the internship with Prep Baseball Report. I applied in, I want to say it was October, November of 2020. Got the job literally right before Christmas. Did the two for a little bit, and obviously still being in the middle of COVID, it wasn't in full bore prep baseball at that point. And then kind of just slowly worked my way as a TrackMan guy. And then they offered me a job to move out here to be the director of Alberta. Oh, God. Back in February of 2023. And this is where I am. So didn't really play baseball before university. Somehow made the team. Didn't play much. Was just a bit athletic and had a decent arm. And yeah, the rest is history.
Very cool. I love stories like that because it just it gives people that sense of, again, I'm a big believer in if you can see it, you can be it. And there are those kids out there who might be thinking, hey, I know that I don't have a future in the game. Like, I'm not going to go play Div 1 or even JUCO, but I love the game. How do I stay involved? And so I'm curious, I'm going to put a different spin on it. I usually ask the athletes, you know, what's that one piece of advice or those words of wisdom for those athletes beginning on their journey? But from your perspective as someone who's living in the baseball world now in a different capacity, what would you say to those young kids who are thinking maybe I've got a chance at getting into the game at a different level like at prep?
Yeah, so the big thing for me, and this is very cliche, but just don't give up. So the one thing for me is I have those internships, and I had that internship with PBR for probably almost 3 years. Very low pay, which is fine. I knew I had to grind through it. And I had a part-time job with some, like, I know it's going to sound weird, but some rich guy just being his, like, maintenance guy, whether it be cleaning his pool, stuff like that. So I had PBR on one side, and then I had this to supplement my income. But I hated that job and wanted to quit every single day I worked there. But I knew that I had to keep going and that the baseball stuff would eventually work out. And thankfully it did, kind of out of nowhere. But if I didn't stick to it, I wouldn't have gotten the full-time job, an opportunity to move across the country and work full-time in baseball. Because I knew once I started that internship, that's what I wanted. And thankfully, I had that opportunity. And obviously, as you know, baseball, full-time jobs in baseball in Canada are very hard to come by. And I was in the mindset of, you know, if I get a job in the U.S. in the middle of nowhere, Alabama, for a full-time job, I was going to take it. Because I knew I maybe only had that one chance. And I wasn't going to turn anything down to work full-time in baseball. So, like I said, it's a bit cliche, but you just got to keep working towards it, and eventually it'll come. You just got to work hard, and once you start working hard, you'll get that opportunity.
That's fantastic. Love, again, that insight into the journey. Cognizant of time, so I'm going to ask you the final question. It's one that we ask everyone here on the show. What does the game of baseball mean to you?
Oh, wow. Okay. The game of baseball to me is essentially – I don't want to be too dramatic, but it's my entire life. Growing up with my dad, we'd always watch it. And I knew once I knew I wanted to get into baseball, I knew that would become my entire life. And when I moved out here, I didn't know a single person. So moving out here, I knew work would be my life. And obviously work being baseball became my life. So now obviously as I'm, you know, meeting more people and making friends out here, it's kind of that more work-life balance. But if baseball didn't exist or I wasn't as invested in baseball as I am, I would not be living in Calgary, Alberta right now. So it is everything to me. And obviously my life trajectory would look completely different if baseball wasn't my thing. So I'll be forever grateful to prep baseball and those guys for giving me the chance. And but baseball is everything to me.
And we're grateful for the opportunity to get to know you and some of the things that that you're working on. Congrats on the journey and the success to this point, Brady. Continued success going forward beyond. And again, really appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us here on the show.
Yeah. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks again to Aiden Zottner, Jacob Rubleski, and Brady Turner for joining us this week. And thanks to all of you for downloading and listening. If you like this or any other episode, don't forget to leave us a rating and review wherever you're tuning in. Those actions help spread the word about ADS. As always, a tip of the cap to our platinum supporter, the Okotoks Dogs, for all they do for us and for baseball in Alberta. Their generosity has been so helpful in covering costs like web hosting fees on WordPress and more. You can learn about our sponsors and how to get involved at albertadugoutstories.com/supporters. Until next time, thank you for all your support online, on social, and on air of Alberta Dugout Stories.